You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Good evening. It's a real honor to be able to speak tonight. I had at the top of my notes a question I've been thinking about throughout the week that is a really popular question around who's the greatest of all time. And it's funny because we went to a lunch with some friends today and the very conversation came up, who's the greatest of all time? Or for those of you that are young, you might refer to it as who is the GOAT? Who's the GOAT, greatest of all time? Is it MJ or LeBron? Is it Messi or Ronaldo? Is it the Beatles or the Spice Girls? You might laugh at the Spice Girls, but my wife would advocate that they are the GOAT. And naturally, we're inspired, aren't we? We love talking about who's the greatest of all time because we love looking at people who are the best of the best, who have these amazing talents, and it's just something that draws us, I think, as we look at these amazing talents of people. For me, growing up, a golfer that was the GOAT at that time was Tiger Woods. Not just his talent at golf, but also he was seen as this amazing guy. And I've got a little video that I think captures how we think about these people. So if we could play that, that would be great. Thank you. Isn't it interesting, back in 2009, this video game, and they used this ad about Tiger Woods, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, walking on water. Interesting, isn't it? I'd love you to take a moment, as we've been talking about who's the greatest of all time. Who would you say is the greatest of all time? It could be a sports person, it could be an actor, it could be royalty or a comedian. I'd love to hear from you. Who would you say is the greatest of all time? Talia, who's the GOAT in your opinion? Don't know. Josh Blackie, you've got lots of opinions on sports people. Dustin Martin. He would have to be the GOAT, wouldn't he, Matt? I think you agree. Anyone else? What about a non-sports person? Does anyone have someone that Roman? Who's the GOAT? God, oh, what an answer. You can tell he. His dad is a pastor. So you may have been thinking about some people in your head as you think about the greatest of all time. I'd love you to take a moment to picture yourself walking into their presence. And some of you might have had the opportunity to be in the presence of this person. You're like, man, I can't believe I'm in the same room as this person right now. Imagine standing next to MJ or LeBron as they're getting ready to address their team. What would it be like to shake the hand of royalty? Imagine being backstage with Taylor Swift as she's about to perform in front of hundreds of thousands of people. As we think about these people's achievements, their talents, their fame, character, it determines how we act in their presence, doesn't it? Because you want to make sure that you're acting the correct way. How, How often do we think of God in this way, with this reverence or this respect, with this weight of, I'm in the same room as this person? And the term I'd love to have a look at tonight is the term God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And you may have heard that a little bit in church. Some of you may not have heard that word before. It's not one we use much outside of church. God is sovereign, but it's really important. If we don't understand this word and what it means, we run the risk of failing to appropriately act before God. So I'd love for you to keep that image in your mind of walking into the presence of someone great as we unpack this word, sovereign, tonight. So we're going to start with prayer tonight, and I'm actually going to use Psalm 113, so you're welcome to open that up if you want to. While you do that, I love using scripture to help form my prayers. I really love it, and it's been really important for me the last few years. And so we're going to start with this prayer, and we're actually going to finish the night with this prayer as well. And I really hope and pray that there's revelation for you tonight as you consider God's sovereignty. So Psalm 113, and I've got it on the screens as well. So let's pray. It might feel a bit different, but let's pray as we read this. Praise the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who looks far down to the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with the noblemen of his people. He has an infertile woman live in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to have a look at this word sovereign tonight. And before I give you like a definition, we're actually going to use the Bible to try and unpack this word and understand what it means. So if you have your Bibles or your phone, you're welcome to open to 1 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to be looking at some passage of scripture in here. So 1 Samuel chapter 5, I'll have it on the screens as well. But while you open that, here's a really, really quick flyover of the history at this time. So just before this moment, Israel were led by judges. So the likes of Joshua, Gideon, Samson. And after Samson's death, Israel really began to kind of crumble and fall apart. Morally, spiritually, they even end up having a civil war. Judges 21 verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." A really sad statement, isn't it? Samuel has just come onto the scene as well, a prophet, a young boy hearing the voice of God. And what had happened was this nation of Israel had entered into a battle with the Philistines, into a war. And this war was a shambles for Israel. It was a complete mess. They were defeated. It's told that there's a huge number of casualties. The high priest Eli, who was sort of helping, he was running Israel at the time, the high priest Eli and his two sons died. And to top it all off, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's very presence. And the picture that's painted here as we get ready to read this text is one of tragedy, hopelessness, a mess. And it seems like God has left Israel. For Israel, they would have thought, well, perhaps the Philistines God, lower G God, is greater than our God. And this would have messed with your perspective of everything that you thought you knew. And I will take a moment just to pause because this is often the story for many people that go through suffering, hardships, or times of great apathy. Have I believed a sham? Is God real? Is he in control? It seems like he's left. And if you're in this place tonight, I encourage you to hold on a little bit longer. We're going to see through this story God in all his sovereignty and what that means. And we're going to find out what that means as we read. So 1 Samuel 5, verse 1 to 2. Let's read. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. Who's Dagon? If you can have the next picture up. So Dagon was the god of the Philistines. So the Philistines have brought the Ark of God, this is God's presence, out of Israel into their own nation, and they've placed it in this temple of Dagon. And it's almost like it's this trophy that they're putting in this temple. And you can really, I think this picture is a great way to think about it. You can see Dagon in this seemingly power, like superiority over the Ark of the Covenant. It's also a reflection of Israel's state, isn't it? Because they've got no hope, they've got no God. It's a mess. But what we're going to see tonight is God is sovereign. And that is such a powerful statement. But God is sovereign. So let's continue with verse 3. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in place. It's almost a bit comedic here when you think about these priests having to, oh, what's happened here? Like, oh, quick, let's quickly put him back up before everyone notices. How ironic that these people are having to lift their god back up into his supposedly right place. But it gets better as we read in verse 4. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon, again, fallen on his face, on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. But God is sovereign. As you read on in this story, you see that the Lord's hand is heavy against the Philistines. In the town or the city where this temple is, people start to break out with tumors as God's judgment is on these people. The Philistines try to move the Ark of God to another place, thinking maybe that will work, but the same thing happens. They move it again to another place, and again, more tumors break out on these people. And there's it says in the Bible, a loud cry of these people as they're like, you know, get this away from us. It's causing this horrible judgment on us. And even when the Ark of the Covenant is sent away back to Israel, that's done through a miraculous way. And I encourage you to have a read of that story, because all throughout you just see these things happening over and over again. God is sovereign. Everyone in that moment of history thought that God, Yahweh, had been defeated, that there was something else that had this moment of power over God. But God displays his authority in a pronounced way, time and time again, that he is sovereign, that he rules over all, that he has all power, all authority, all wisdom, that he is the name above all names, enthroned over all of heaven. That's what it means when we think of the word sovereign. God says it to Moses where he says, I am who I am. We prayed that in that psalm. Who is like the Lord? He is enthroned on high over heaven and earth. We have that next slide up. So sovereign, it means absolute power, authority, enthroned above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. We're starting to get an understanding of what this word means. That his sovereignty, it's not influenced by anything, whether our life is a mess or whether it's going great or whether we think we have things under control or whether we don't know what is going to happen. God is sovereign. As we stop and kind of just think about this for a moment, for me, it leaves me with a sense of awe and wonder. Job had this same sense of awe and wonder when God displayed his majesty in a mighty way. And Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. But you know, this sovereignty we speak of, it's also a beautiful sovereignty, a beautiful sovereignty. Sovereign also means infinite mercy. In the psalm we prayed at the very start, it says, and talking of God, he raises the poor from the dust, he lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with the noblemen of his people. He has the infertile woman live in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. God delights in raising the poor from the dust. He is a just God, but he's a merciful God as well. God is sovereign and is also mindful of us. He cares for us. That's what we were praying as we read those lines. Who is like the Lord, enthroned on high, yet he looks down on the earth. The NIV version says that he stoops down. The Amplified says that he humbles himself. And this is what we must also think about when we think of the word sovereign. When we say, God, you are sovereign, we're also reflecting on this just amazing thought that, God, you're mindful of us. Who are we that you would be mindful of us? Your mercies are new every morning. And so perhaps you can relate to feeling unnoticed or not valued, like that you don't belong or that you're not worth too much. Well, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he has something to say about that as well. God formed you in your mother's womb and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is sovereign. So we have these components of sovereignty, that God has all power, all authority, all wisdom, that he is just and merciful. I think that's a great way of thinking about sovereign, and I've really enjoyed unpacking that. But it does bring us to a kind of serious side and a high stakes reality that we have to actually think about. Are we going to acknowledge that God is sovereign or not? If you think back to that person that you might have had in your head, the goat, greatest of all time, if you think back to that person, if you were to act inappropriately in their presence, if you were to present yourself inappropriately, you'd be removed from their presence pretty quickly. If you were to try to interrupt, say, a Taylor Swift concert, you'd be dealt with pretty swiftly. Sorry, guys, that really broke the flow of the message. But why do I emphasize this aspect of sovereignty, that it's really important how we respond? Well, it's part of our response to worship. Who is it that we're worshiping? And I love, like, Andy touched on it this morning when you talked about, like, it's a serious thing about how are we going to present an acceptable sacrifice? How are we going to do that appropriately and in the way that we should before our Almighty God? And if we look at Jesus on the cross, I think it's a really great way to kind of picture this and try to somewhat understand the weight of this decision we have. Are we going to acknowledge God as sovereign or not? And so we have this moment where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And I love the Bible and the threads throughout. He's hanging on the cross like a trophy before Satan. A lot like that picture we saw earlier, right? The Ark of the Covenant of God, God's presence. Like a trophy before this other god, Dagon. We have this picture and it doesn't make sense because, you know, at the time, his followers would have known these prophecies, like in Isaiah, where and we'll hear it at Christmas time, where it talks of Jesus as wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, authority and justice. It talks about him establishing his reign forever. But Jesus is hanging on a cross. It doesn't make sense. We read about the Roman soldiers who were mocking Jesus in the lead-up. In Matthew 27, verse 27, it says that they knelt, in chapter 27, it says that they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him. They took the staff and they struck him on the head again and again. But God is sovereign. And we see Jesus, who is God with us, sovereign. We see the statement again begin to play out. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And this is now verse 51. At the moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And we sung this tonight. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared to many people. And put yourself in the shoes of this Roman centurion, the Roman soldiers, where they see these earthquakes happening. And they're terrified and they exclaim, surely he was the Son of God. Can you imagine that moment? Those guarding Jesus encountered that moment where, hang on, there's something happening here. Surely he's the Son of God. God is sovereign. And it's really important that we have revelation of this, that we have revelation of the word sovereign, because we all have a choice to acknowledge God as sovereign or not. We have a choice, but that's not going to impact if God is sovereign or not. And these Roman soldiers saw it when the earthquakes happened and the rocks split. You can't have your foot in either camp. Either God is sovereign, or either you're going to say you're not going to acknowledge that he's sovereign. And for the Roman soldiers, this was a moment of horror, of being terrified, because they realized they didn't have a leg to stand on. For the followers of Jesus, we see this play out where this turns into a moment of joy, of hope, of Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God, you are sovereign. And we're going to have this moment as well when we stand before God. For many people, it's going to be a tragedy to finally accept God's sovereignty, but with a response of terror and fear. But for those that have pledged allegiance to Jesus, what a wonderful moment, what an amazing moment. So come before Jesus. To come before the Father and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God is sovereign. Will we acknowledge that he is sovereign and humble ourselves? Or are we going to blind ourselves with the delusion that we can work things out our own way, that maybe something else is sovereign and we're going to put our hope in that? And so where we're going to land tonight, and we're almost done, but where we're going to land is, how does this frame our worship? When we have a revelation, a new understanding about God's sovereignty, we become inspired to worship him. And I love this thought around revelation and how that inspires us to worship. As I think about God's sovereignty, as I think back over my life of moments where I've just had this revelation of God's sovereignty, it has inspired how I worship. You know, being out in the outdoors on the top of a mountain range and just seeing an amazing view or a sunset, and you're like, God, you created this. God, you are sovereign. Who is like you, God? It inspires our worship. Revelation of God's sovereignty, where we find this newfound reverence, or that word means a really deep respect. That reverence when we come into the presence of God and worship him. God, you are holy. God, you are holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. It inspires our worship. What about trust and reliance? Again, a revelation of God's sovereignty when we have those moments where we realize actually we have no control. We're nothing in this moment. We can't do anything to influence the outcome. We have no control. But God, you're sovereign. God, you're sovereign. Here's my life. I'm putting my complete trust in you because I know there's nothing I can do to change this. God, you are sovereign. It inspires our worship. Praise and thanksgiving. You know, when God answers a prayer or we see breakthrough in our life, again, God, you are sovereign. I can't believe that how you worked in my life. I can't believe the way that you just made things turn out for your good to glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I could list many more ways that God's sovereignty and that revelation of God's sovereignty can inspire our worship. But I want to leave you with one last picture. A picture that captures God's sovereignty and how it inspires us to worship. And we're going to experience it tonight where we witness baptisms. When we look at Jesus, he submitted completely to his Father. He understood the sovereignty of his Father, that God is enthroned above all, that God is wisdom, that he rules with justice and mercy. And Jesus submitted to his Father's will. He trusted his Father. He obeyed his Father all the way to the cross. Jesus died for the sins of mankind and rose again as the Father purposed, taking his place at the right hand of the Father, now crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Saviour of the world. Wow, God is sovereign. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Jesus asks us to follow his example of how he lived on earth, to also take up our cross, to repent and be baptized. What an amazing picture. What an amazing act of worship. Baptism, where we're completely submitting to our Father. Completely submitting to God, where we're acknowledging, Jesus, that you are King and I'm going to dedicate my life to you. I pledge allegiance to you. I love this quote from John Piper about God's sovereignty. Those, it seems to me, are the big things to grasp about God's sovereignty. First, it is unstoppable power and authority over all things, including the human will. Second, it is in accord with infinite wisdom, infinite justice, infinite mercy through Jesus Christ. And so I'd love to leave you with this takeaway, and I know it's something I've been thinking about, the application of God's word that we've heard tonight. When we recognize the sovereignty of the God that we serve, we take our eyes off ourselves and we set them on God. Again, we heard it this morning. Worship requires us to take self off the throne and set our eyes completely on God. And this is what worship is. This is what it means to worship the One, as we've been learning about all year. Isaiah 29, verse 23, we see this revelation people have that inspires them for worship. And this is God speaking, "When they see the work of my hands, they will keep my name holy. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel." God is sovereign. And so I'd love to finish just with reading this Psalm 113 again, as we just consider God's sovereignty as we read throughout. And I encourage you to take this with you and let it shape how you worship. Let it inspire your worship. Psalm 113, I don't think we've got that on the screens again. "Praise the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who looks far down to the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with noblemen, with the noblemen of his people. He has the infertile woman live in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." Amen. What an amazing passage of scripture. God is sovereign. Thank you, church.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.